Amen. All right, take your Bibles tonight and turn to Romans chapter number 1. And got to go soul winning with that young man tonight and some of the others, and had a few saved tonight on our teen soul winning and college went out. Amen. And so praise the Lord for our college and our young people, all the schools that we have going on here. You ought to thank the Lord. There's a lot of places that gave that up a long time ago and sold out on some things and lost some stuff. I thank God for Landmark and where it stood and holding the line, and my preacher. Amen. And you guys are going to be thankful for him too when he gets back. Amen. Because you just keep having to hear from me. Amen. And so Romans chapter number 1. And I just wanted to say a few things. If you want to get a ticket for the Clue, this and get a ticket back there. I don't think we're sold out yet. You say, Brother Parsons, what are you having to eat that night? I don't have a clue. And don't know. Amen. And but I do know we're going to knock them dead. So I don't know if you know what Clue is, but you're probably going to, we're going to knock you all dead with the the enjoyment of it. I'm going to have a good time. And I know that anytime God's people get together, if everybody's right, we'll have a good time together. It's always fun down there. Jesse Maxwell wrote this one as well. And so I'm looking forward to it. You guys turn me down a little bit. I'll try to do my best to get up where you don't have to turn me down. Just leave me in one place. Amen. And thumbs up. Amen. Thank you, my brother. All right. I want to just say this about our young people. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the practice there. Please be in prayer. I know many of you are in the ministry of prayer. Some of you have done so many different things in the ministry. But one of your greatest ministries at this stage of your life is prayer. And our school will have hundreds of young people coming here tomorrow, and I'll get a great opportunity to pitch the college to them. The Landmark Baptist College is our college, amen, as a church. And so I thank God for the opportunity we'll have to just share with them that we have a ministry here, that they don't have to go to the world and to the secular world's colleges, that they can come right here and get trained for what God has for them. And again, some of them will come, you know, we'll try to talk to them about going and just getting some more Bible before they go on and do those things in the secular world that some of them may feel led to do. But just let me say that, pray for them and pray for our ministry. There's so many people going to be all over the ministry. Just pray a hedge of protection around our ministry. I know that many of you may think, you know, we only need to do that on Sunday, but I promise you this place does not cease to have things going on any single day of the week. There's always something happening at Landmark. So don't just pray for Sunday, but don't stop praying for Sunday. Pray for Sunday. Pray for the buses. Pray for Sunday school. Pray for the Sunday school teachers. Pray for the junior church workers. Wake up in the morning and just pray early on that there's always somebody. Brother Weeby down here keying up the buses. Pray for him that he don't get mugged down here in the bus lot. Just pray for all the people that are doing different things around our ministry, because it's constantly going, and we need to lift it up in prayer. I believe that not only do we need to be able to put in all the work, but we need the power of God in our ministry and upon it, and the hedge of protection guiding and watching over it in every stage. Pray for the choir. I've been in a lot of ministries. I talk a lot about that. But if you've ever been in a church that didn't have a good choir, you thank God for the one that we got. Amen. And you thank God for the talent that we have that can sing and to praise the Lord. Just even tonight, what talent we have coming up through the ranks. Amen. To be able to sing. Them two handsome guys on the end are related to me, and they didn't get any of that from me. And they're both praying that they don't have to save their hair in a box like I had to, that they'll take after mom's side and to get to keep it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Romans chapter number 1 tonight. And I want to just preach a little bit on, we've been in this campaign, we're going to be in our third week, and we've been teaching about missionaries. Missionaries are special people. And missionaries, again, sometimes when I grew up, my church really stressed that whether you went around the world or across the street, you were a missionary. The very definition of missionary is a sent one. So everyone that's saved is sent out to do a work of God. Now, we typically talk about that as sometimes we'll use it for people that are sent out of our church, and that is a right definition. But a missionary ought to have a mission, shouldn't they? Amen. And I believe that we have a Savior who we talked about on Sunday, who gave us a great commission to go and to seek and to save, just what he came to do, to keep going out and to tell people about what he did for them, that they could be saved. And this mission, when we lift up a missionary, we're trying to give, and I said this on a Wednesday night, and for those of you that maybe weren't here, just let me say, we need to put good heroes of the faith in front of our young people. I just, you know, we live in a day and age where most kids think a hero is from outer space, is a different color of green, or they think, again, that they have to come out of a comic book, and that is not true. I was raised in a day and age where all those things were still around, but the people and the church that I grew up in, man, they made, my dad was a hero to me. My preacher was a hero to me. And it's because they were real. I realized very early on, and I told you my terrible situation with Santa Claus or Satan Claus, whatever you want to call him, that, you know, that lie that was perpetrated on me as a child. And so that, you know, I hated that. You know, I hated that that went on. But, you know, I realized that if that wasn't true, man, all these other guys that they try to lift up and try to make something, I never was, you know, thinking much of, I like guys that could play football and play basketball, but, you know, I realized my dad told me a long time ago that I probably was never, you know, my dad was, oh, I think he's like 5'7" or something like that, might be 5'6". He's shrinking. So, you know, wherever he was when I was a teenager, he's not there now. He's much shorter than that now. But his dad was just barely 5 foot. And so I'm a giant compared to all the rest of the people in my family. And I remember begging God, and I always remember looking at the Bible, you know, who could add one like cubit to your stature? And I begged God, God, I want to be 6 foot tall. I want to be 6 foot tall. I missed it like by a half an inch. And so I really, you know, and then, you know, so I wore cowboy boots a lot. And then Brother Herring ruined that for me. And when he preached, and you know, you're all laughing because, you know, he used to be like, no, preacher doesn't wear cowboy boots. He got on it in class. I mean, he would get on it. And that was his pet peeve, but I can still hear him. Every time I get ready to pull him on, I'm like, bless God on preacher. I kick him off. You mean? And I said, amen. And so, but I want to take here and just take a minute to look in the scripture tonight. And I don't mean that literally a minute. I knew some of you were getting excited, but Romans chapter 1, and look at it, verse 14. I want to show you some things and just about the I ams of a missionary. And I hope you can identify not just Brother Morgan as a missionary around the world, far away, sent out from our church, but even here at us at home, whether you go to Dundee with your bus route, whether you go to Poinciana, no matter where you go and where you serve in the ministry and how you minister as a missionary just around the corner or around the world, amen, this applies to you. So I want to show you the three I ams of a missionary. Now, the book of Romans is written by Paul to the Romans. He's the church at Rome, and he's writing to them. He desires to be there. He wants to see them. He has some things he wants to give them. And he's going to give them some statements. Now, I think it's important when somebody says, I am. I feel like when you're studying the Bible and you hear the Lord Jesus say, I am the resurrection and the life, he's making a clear statement about himself. This is true about me. This is something that's for me. This is for you. And so here in the scripture, Paul is going to say some things. And Paul, next to the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is probably the best missionary example that we have in the scripture. Someone who, I mean, went after it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to say some things about himself that are going to be so true to us that we need to kind of get a hold of. It will help us minister. Sometimes as we go on through our lives, we forget some of these things. And Paul was one of those men that he held on to some things. I talked to a Christian this week, and, you know, I got stopped about a lot of things I said Sunday. So I'm going to try to be good tonight, you know. And so So both men and women stopped me about what was preached Sunday night, and that were good people, you know. And then I had someone that doesn't go to church here that heard me on the radio and asked me about what I preached about wine. And I had a great conversation with them about that. They were very receptive, and I thank God for that. But just, you know, that person does not go to this church. But let me tell you, I've never been into his business where he did not praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he is a constant missionary and a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you this, and I might get ahead of myself. Let me just say this, and it starts out with the first I am that we're going to see tonight, because he really got a hold. He said, I've never gotten over getting saved. I just never got over it. I realized what Christ did and what he had to pay for me. And sometimes I think that we get too professional, that we get too polished, and we forget we get over
what we used to be, what he bought when he got us. And I don't want to be that. Let's pray tonight and we'll dive in. And I'll be more than a minute, like I said before, but that was just a not a literal term. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I do thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we have something that we can go and have absolute truth to preach. And God, I pray tonight as we open and we study it and look at your word, God, I pray that you would just help every Christian, everyone who is a missionary in this room to this world. I pray that you'd help us make us a better one from your word, from the study of your word tonight. We to take something and apply it to our lives. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would do the work, that you would do the convicting, that you would go into the hearts of people and do what I cannot do, that you would just touch someone's heart to do more for you tonight. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 14, I want you to see the very first I am, but let's go back to get context, if you would, with me. And he says this, in verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might also have some fruit among you also, even among other Gentiles. Paul had been all over the place. This gives us a jumping off point to understand that he was a missionary. And he says, I don't want to just have fruit over here. I want to have fruit everywhere. I've heard of your faith. If you read the other context of the chapter, I've heard of your faith and I want to come there too. He wants to talk with them. He wants to encourage them and give them. This is something that this is just an ad. Thing. This isn't one of my 3 points. Can I just say this? Doctrine matters. The Apostle Paul was going to show up, not because they hadn't been saved. Now, he's going to talk about what he was ready to do when he got there. Don't think that the missionary was going to show up and he was going to start. Listen, he had people that were believers. That was the start of this thing. Thank God for people that help you get started when you start a new church. But he was going to go there and preach to people that never heard it before, and he was going to teach the Romans what it was to be a Christian, to help them grow up. The Bible uses this term to edify the brethren. Can I tell you that sometimes we live in a day and age where it's hard enough to get young people to grow up in the real world and just be grown up, but it's a whole nother thing to try to help people to grow up in their faith. We live in a day and age where we think, and let me tell you, fundamentalism, not in general, or in a sense, I'm going to say I are one. Sometimes we get so caught up in winning them and wetting them and working them, we forget to teach them everything that we were taught. Amen. We skip over a deep element, and that's why they don't stick. Because we skip something that's foundational. We skip the foundational point of, man, we ought to just study this book. That brother that I talked about, he told me that he got saved. In fact, he told me 24 years ago, Brother Congdon led him to the Lord. He said Brother Congdon had been saved and was hunting after him and kept after him. And I think he said Brother Hill come with him. And he told me a testimony. He's told me his testimony at least 3 times that I've been in that business. And just told me without being ashamed that he was saved. And he said, but I got in the book. And I've wore that old book out. I've read it. And he wanted to know about some things. And listen, I'm here to tell you, I've been around people that want to ask you questions and then kind of, you know, twist and see whether they can kind of twist and get, like, you know, they're looking for, like our college students look for the, you know, that loophole in the book, in the rule book. People are looking in the Bible. Most people today, I'm not saying everybody, all right, but a lot of people are looking for the loophole in God's book so they can get out of something instead of getting in it and getting in. What do I need to do? Teach me. Tell me what I need to do. When I was green and I was a young person and I went to a job, I started something. I wanted to be worth more than everybody else that worked at that place. I wanted to learn everything they did, not just what they hired me to do, but I wanted to learn what else somebody else was doing, because if they went on vacation, I wanted to do that. I wanted to learn everything. I wanted to be able to do everything because I wanted to be worth everything I could be to that employer because I felt indebted to them. They gave me a job. They trusted me to be their employee, and I wanted to be the best employee I could be. And listen, as a Christian, we ought to be that way. Listen, we ought not think Jesus got something when he got me. We ought to realize that we're indebted to him, that, man, he took a piece of junk. He took a sinner that, listen, and saved him by grace. He paid for his salvation, and we were nothing without Christ, and we ought to feel indebted to him. He goes on, and he talks about how how he's going to come and give them doctrine. But then he says, I am. Look at it with me in the verse. And this is our first. If you're looking for points, my wife said I only dropped one the other day. I gave them all. I just said number one. That's usually how I preach. Number one. And you don't hear nothing else the rest of the time. If you don't get the high points, I'm sorry. I'm still getting refined. And, you know, maybe by the time I get... I get out of preaching and I wear out instead of rusting out, amen, I might get to the point where I say point two. And so, all right, but just get point one. If you don't get nothing else, get that, amen. And that was for Brother Cruz, and he likes that. If you don't get nothing else, he said I say that a lot, so I don't know, but you can mark that or down. So verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. I love how he says that I am a debtor. You know that somebody, we live in a culture that is in debt. We live a culture that the overall group of people, I mean, it's crazy if we were to talk about it like that, but the majority of our young people, the majority of our people in general as a country are in debt. And so we don't look at debt like we used to, like it is a bad thing, like it is something that we should not carry. And we have accepted debt in our country. Our country tonight is in debt that I don't know that it could ever pay itself out of. It's crazy. I mean, when I was a kid, they actually started to teach us stuff. And I know in school, you know, I was in Christian school, so they tried to teach me how much it would cost if they broke down the national debt per person. Today, it's outstanding if you were to study that. It's almost overwhelming. But as a Christian, can I realize that ought to motivate you? It used to, in old times, people would go to work, not just to live, but they would even work a second job so that they could pay off their debt. They'd work one to live and they'd work one to pay off debt. And can I tell you, in the Christian life, we have to get to the place where we realize how indebted we are. You see, a missionary is someone who is a sent one. It's someone who feels a burden and a necessity to complete a task, whether it be in a certain area or where they feel burdened for. Can I tell you, listen, if you're a missionary, listen, you're not just burdened for that area, but when you're here, you're burdened for this area. And when you're there, when you're around people, he gives a wide range of people, Greeks and barbarians, wise and unwise. When he got to that, he just, let me cover everybody, the dumb people and the smart people and everybody in between. He just kind of covered it all, and he just said, I am indebted. I don't think that we understand just how we ought to be as saved people and understand the debt that we owe the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been given a job to do, and every minute of every day, I am not my own. I am bought with a price. That's the debt that we're talking about. That's the intensity that we ought to understand, or the missionary that we ought to be. Paul lived this out in his life, and he was always this way. From, I'm talking about the time that he got struck down on that road to Damascus. On the road to Damascus, he just kind of, I mean, I think he was overwhelmed. And he had this mindset, not looking for a loophole, but now with the truth, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? When was the last time, Christian, that you asked that question of Almighty God? I think that most of our prayers that are offered up to God are, God, do this for me. God, do this. God, do that. God, do this. God, protect my uncle. Do this and do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I believe that prayer is asking and receiving. But what about asking and receiving the will of God? What about asking God, God, what would you have me do? God, would you have me? You know, I mean, when was the last time standing at a gas pump, you looked at the person across from me, and he looked like a good candidate. All right, God, do you want me to witness to him? Or do you want me to give him a tract? What do you want me to do to that person right there? What would you have me do, God? Do you know, I believe that I serve an almighty God that would give you an answer even at the gas pump. You may think that that's too small, but that soul was worth everything to the God of heaven. He'd have given everything for the person across the pump from you or the one standing on this side. And I thank God that I'm saved tonight. But listen, more than that, I thank God that I got a hold of this idea that I'm a debtor to the world. I'm not saying that I'm what I am, but listen, can I tell you tonight, I feel indebted. I feel like I need to give the gospel to the world. I feel like I need to give the gospel to every creature under heaven. Listen, church, if we could get a hold of that, you say, I love Dr. Pitt says this, you know, all that bus workers, if you could get a hold of that, you wouldn't be satisfied with what you had last week. You wouldn't be satisfied with them just sitting on the bus and singing to them. You'd make sure before they got off the bus that they had a clear presentation of the scripture from you. Not just in Sunday school. I'm just here to tell you, if we could get a hold of that, we would make sure, if we saw that new kid that was on our bus, somebody, we'd direct, make sure somebody sat with that kid and talked to them about Jesus. He said, well, I got all these kids and I got to keep the program going. Yes, you do. But we are debtors. We've got a responsibility. We went out tonight and we were all over Haines City. I mean, we go all over the place. We've been in Poinciana, we've been in Dundee, but I drove up and down the streets. My wife rode back and we were going to get the meal so we could get everybody fed up. And my wife said, I've never been in this part of town. I've never seen this area. I've never seen these streets. And I wonder, how long have you lived in Haines City and there's places and people that you've never been up and down the street? You never seen that, you never knocked that door, you never prayed for that section of town. We have got to get to the place where we realize if we don't decide that Haines City is our responsibility, if we don't feel, if the Landmark Baptist Church doesn't feel indebted to get the gospel to the Haines City area, who's going to do it? If we don't say it's our responsibility, it's not anybody else's, it's not, listen, where we were knocking, it was not going to be the Catholic Church's job to get the gospel. They don't have the truth. It wasn't the Church of Christ's job. They don't have the truth, and even if they did, they lost it. And listen, can I tell you today, listen, there are churches all over the place that call themselves a church, but the assembly that was called out by the Lord Jesus Christ and calls itself independent, fundamental Baptist, and holds the truth of God in store in the King James Bible needs to tote that King James Bible to the front door of every Tom, Dick, and Harry in this town and tell them, hey, I've got a message to tell. I'm indebted to you. You, listen, I have to tell you this. I owe you this. Don't think that God planted this place for you to just enjoy, to sit back on your laurels and just sit back and say, "Woo, it's good to have some good singing. Boy, I felt real good after the preaching on Sunday morning." That's not what this place is about. This is a place that gets the gospel out. It's assembled together for the purpose of the Great Commission, to complete the Great Commission, not a place to be comfortable. We get more riled up because the air condition ain't working right than nobody getting saved on Sunday morning. It ought to burn your soul. When I stand here, I watch my preacher turn red in the face and think about all the time that he spent in prayer and how he felt indebted to the city, how he spent his life, all the time that he spent here, the 49 years that he stood in that place and preached the gospel, and nobody walked the aisle, nobody won anybody and brought him down for public perfection. And he stands here and he looks and he thinks, I've got to spend time this afternoon and find one. I'm indebted to this city. I'm not done yet. I need one more. I need to find somebody. There's somebody that needs the gospel. This is Wednesday night, folks. You may think this is preaching, but this is just teaching. This is just reminding us again and again that we're a debtor. We're a debtor to everybody that walks up and down the street around us. We got to get a hold of it. You say, Brother Parsons, you're getting awful red and puffed in the face. Can I tell you tonight, listen, if I could scream it, if I could beg you to get to a place where you would be indebted, I'd do that if I thought it worked. If I thought that, you know, doing a cartwheel, I sure'd try one. If I thought taking an offering would do that, I sure would do it. But can I just tell you, the Bible says it's the foolishness of preaching. It's just telling you again and again, because I am just like you. I come and enjoy this place, and sometimes I forget. I think about all that God has blessed me with, and I forget that I'm a debtor. that even at the greatest and what God has instilled and given me, that I'm indebted to a lost and dying world. Because God didn't save me just to give me a great family, to bless me to be in the ministry, to bless me to be here and to do these things. God saved me to be a missionary. And I have to own for myself that I am of the missionary. I am a debtor. Folks, do you feel like you're indebted to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Amen. Pass that, take that on and be indebted to Haines City. Amen. I'm indebted to my town. I'm indebted to my Sunday school group. I'm indebted to this. We even live in a day and age where most, listen, I'm going to get after you tonight. I love you. Do not get mad with me. We live in a day and age where most Sunday school teachers don't even darken the doors of their students. They've never even gone and knocked the door of their Sunday school room. We live in that day, and that is not the way Sunday school was started. That is not the way Sunday school was supposed to be done. Amen. Look on with me, he says. 15, he says, not only am I debtor to the wise and the unwise in this group, so much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Think about this, Christian. This picture that I get from the Apostle Paul is that he had been somewhere. See, I believe that this book is inspired by the Holy Ghost of God. I believe that it is a holy book and that God spoke it. And I mean, and this Paul just, I mean, he had the Holy Spirit in him and on him, and he was writing this book. And can I tell you, he's bound up. Listen, there's times that have you ever heard a gospel song that talks about something good and you can't help but, whoa! That's good. Have you ever got excited about reading the Bible to the point where sometimes you just can't wait to go share with Christ with somebody, or to the point where you're broken over what the Scripture has revealed to you and that's in your life, and you cry like a baby and it wets the pages? The problem is, listen, even if that's true of us, how often does that happen? I see this. Paul says, I am ready. Not that I'm going to get ready. I could be ready someday. I will be ready someday. He said, I am ready to preach. Well, I don't know. I love this brother, so I'm going to use the illustration, and I'm not going to call him out by name, but I sat up here with my pastor, and he's a good man. Now, if I called his name out, y'all know who he is. And he showed up at our meeting, and I said, preacher, hey, you know, this guy's a graduate of our college. Why don't we preach him? It's that graduate's day, and we, you know, that's how we do here, you know. We don't call nobody. We don't tell them ahead of time. Brother, we'll call you out from the auditorium. When it's Bible conference time, we just handpick, hey, you, we'll give you, you got two songs. Come on. Amen. I am ready to preach. You say, well, Brother Parsons, you know, you could do that. Listen, tonight if we said, hey, let's give testimony of God's goodness, amen, should you have to work it up? Should we have to tell you two Sundays ahead of time to let you know we're having testimony time so you can plan it out? Hey, you ought to be ready to tell people about the hope that's inside of you. You ought to be ready to, hey, let me tell you what God did today. Let me tell you what God told me, showed me through the Scripture today. Hey, we ought to be ready. We ought to always be ready to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not talking about, hey, well, some new thing. We don't need some new thing. We need the old story. We need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be ready to preach to every man and give an answer of the hope that lies within us. We need to get to the place where we're not, listen, can I just tell you tonight? We just need to get to the place where we are ready to preach. You say, well, what about the ladies? Listen, this is your shot in soul winning. It says you can teach or preach, whatever makes you feel better. You can go and tell them about Jesus. We've got to share the gospel with people. We are indebted, but not just that. I fear that we live in a generation that is not ready. Not ready. Ready to put it on Facebook. And thank God for those of you that share it with people on Facebook. But where else are you sharing it? Everybody else that isn't on Facebook can go to hell. Is that what you think? I'm ready to give it there because I don't have to get out of my house clothes to give that. What about when you're at the grocery store? Say, well, you know, I don't want to hold people up. Give them a gospel tract. Be ready to preach. Boy, I tell you what, sometimes I think that, you know, when I grew up, I remember in the church, they used to plan things. Ladies used to plan things. You know them, I don't remember what them were called, home interior. I think that's what it was. I spent a mess of money on that junk. Anyway, so home interior parties. But you know what? I knew ladies back in the day that did some of those things, and they'd have people over their house, and it wasn't just, I mean, the home interior was coy. And they'd get them there, and they'd show them all that stuff. Now, you see all these beautiful pictures of things that God created, and they'd make sure that everybody that was in that place knew who their Savior was and what he had done and what they needed to do. Now, they may never come back to your interior home interior party, all right? And some of you go back as far as Tupperware, all right? All right? And I don't know how you bring Jesus into Tupperware, all right? All right? You're sealed until the day of redemption. Amen, but I don't know. But I'm just saying, somehow, we'll get people to a place where we can share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that sometimes we feel like that the church, and I believe that, you know, I've heard so many people say the church is a hospital, that the church is a healing station, and it is, and it ought to be. The church ought to love the brethren. We ought to love each other. But we ought to love the world enough to go out and share what got us in the church. We ought to love them enough to go out and preach to them. Say, Brother Parsons, you don't understand how hard it is. I don't. You don't think people slammed the door in my face too? I've told this story already. Listen, I had to preach from up here the last couple of times. And I get out into town and people stop me. Hey, you're the one that was preaching Sunday, weren't you? Tell me about this. Hey, you were the one preaching. Listen, you can preach against them ladies, but don't you be bringing up the men. I had two different men tell me that this week. Now, they were kidding, I think. Amen. Can I tell you today, listen, we need to be ready to preach. Just preach the gospel. Do you know the good news? And this is my fear. We live in a day and age where people cut it short. The death, burial. And just, we talked about the resurrection. Don't leave Jesus in the grave. Amen. What makes him different than everybody else is that he rose again. Amen. He was just a good man if he stayed down. But what made him different was he didn't stay dead. Amen. Can I tell you? He's alive today. That same Jesus, well, we can ask for boldness to preach his gospel. We can boldly go before the throne of grace and beg God, God, help me. I cower in front of people. I clam up in front of people. I'm slow of speech. Can you help me? Listen, God wants to give you. Listen, this book is going to tell us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. If he can help somebody like me get up, listen, there's nobody that I know that's worse at English than this old boy right here. There's nobody that doesn't know how to spell no worse than this boy right here. There ain't nobody. Can I tell you that? You say, Brother Parsons, you shouldn't be that honest. Well, amen. How should I be? Oh, it's preaching, so I'm supposed to tell stories, right? Number three, he says, I'm a debtor, number one. The second I am of a missionary is I'm ready to preach. And listen to the third one. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm not ashamed. Now, you know, we get people to come and we try to tell them, don't be ashamed of Jesus, make public profession and get in the baptismal pool. But you can get ashamed of Jesus and what he did for you and how he is, but this is what fear, and this is why I want to couple it, okay? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Can I just share my heart? I worry that some of us live in such a way that we're ashamed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because we're not living in a way that we feel like we're worthy. When people look at us and if we talked about Jesus, they'd call us a hypocrite. They'd look at you and say, Christians don't dress that way because the world will call you out on it. Because the world, They ain't going to make two bones about it. They're going to tell you, well, how come you were cussing a couple days ago and now you want to tell me about Jesus? How come, you know, the other day, you know, you were saying this dirty joke and now you want to tell me about Jesus? The reason that some of us, listen, that we're ashamed, it's not we're ashamed of Jesus and what he did for us and who he is and how he's perfect. It's that the way we live, we're ashamed of the gospel because it had the power to save us. It had the power to bring us and drag us up out of church, but it hadn't changed us yet. Or maybe it did, but we changed back. Can I tell you tonight? Say, Brother Parsons, that's not popular preaching. It ain't easy. It ain't easy for me to preach it. But listen, if we're going to be what we've always been, we need to get right with the book. We need to get right with our Savior. We need to stay right. You say, Brother Parsons, people in here need to get right. This is Landmark. Hey, we shouldn't judge ourselves off some other church. We ought to judge ourselves by the book. We don't even have to judge ourselves by the past. We can judge ourselves by the present word of Almighty God. How do you line up with the book tonight? How do you line up as a missionary? I am a debtor. Can you say that tonight? Can you say, I am ready to preach? Can you say unashamedly, I am not ashamed? I'm not ashamed. Tonight, I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're living. I don't know what's going on, but I can tell you there have been times in my life, can I be as honest as I can be, in my Christian life, in the past, never got out of church, never been out of church. But I was called to preach when I was 18 years old. Went to Bible college. This isn't popular preaching. Can I share my testimony? Sometimes the Apostle Paul thought his testimony was pretty good, so I'll give you mine tonight. I went to Bible college at 18 years old. I went a semester, and I thought, I didn't call to preach like these crazy people. This is craziness. Because, you know, those people were sold out. They loved the Lord. You know, after I left, and you know how 2020 vision is? You know, I look back and go, the problem was me. The problem wasn't everybody else around me. The problem was me. Hey, can I tell you tonight, I ran home to my comfort zone. I went home to where I felt comfortable, and I stayed in church. I went and did whatever the preacher asked me to do. I helped in junior church and other things, and it kept me close. But then I got in the book, and the book started to say, you think you're all right, but look at here. You know, and the more I got the book in me, the more I started to get out of the world. And the more the book cleaned me up, man, the more I wanted to preach that book. The more I got that book in me, the more I could not help but do what God called me to do. I realized that book, his calling was without repentance. And I began to worry that God was going to not do something to me because he wanted me to do his will. I was worried what he's going to do to my family. I'm not trying to scare anybody, and I'm just telling you what God did for me. And I, listen, it was not hard for me to sell everything I owned, to leave everything else I knew, because I was looking, listen, I wanted to give everything because I was a debtor. I was indebted to God, and listen, nothing I owned was worth what he meant to me. Nothing that I owned was worth what that book meant to me. Listen, I realized that I was ready to preach. With everything that I was, I wanted to come where someone would teach me to do better at it, to be better than I was, where I was right then. But I was still ready to preach. If anybody propped me up, I'd give them a bad sermon. Amen. I'd give them something. And then, can I tell you, I got to a place where I wanted to keep cleaning myself up so that I was never ashamed. Whenever anyone asked me and looked for an answer of the hope that lies, listen, do you understand that term? For people to ask you about what's in you, they have to see it. When was the last time you were at Walmart, folks, and people could tell that you were sold out and separated because of what you were wearing? When was the last time at Walmart somebody said, you must be a Christian because you stood out in a crowd? Because Christians are peculiar people. Brother Parsons, you've been preaching on dress a lot. You know, I'm just here to tell you, I've been preaching what God told me to preach here lately. All right? I'm just going to tell you, it isn't like I got some pet peeve and I'm trying to get after somebody. I love y'all. But I want everybody to be the missionary that they ought to be, because the only way Haines City is going to come to Christ is if every one of us get together as a church and love each other and get after fulfilling the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ and say that I'm a debtor to this community. I'm going to go after them. I'm a debtor, so I'm going to go. And then go out and be ready to preach when you go out and not be ashamed. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what anybody says. Don't matter how many times they slam the door. Doesn't matter what they say or think about me. I'm going to tell them about the one that saved my never-dying soul. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell them about him. Listen, tonight, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me tonight? We're just going to sing an invitation hymn. Would you just come and do whatever God asked you to do? We're going to play through one. If you're here tonight and you don't know you're saved, if you found your way in here and you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, you say, Brother Parsons, this is Bible study. Man, it's time to meet with people if they're not saved. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, would you slide your hand up and say, Brother Parsons, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there one anywhere in the building? Brother Parsons, I am not sure I'm saved. I have these.